Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two, about 15 minutes in, and this hour we'll bring you Dick Powell from yesterday, as well as Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and of course, Hill and Dale's Curlin, quite ably represented in this Belmont with Nest, and very interesting potential, obviously, and I guess technically even Curlin represented to some degree by Skippy Longstocking, because, of course, Exaggerator, son of Curlin as well. So we'll get to those thoughts from a pedigree standpoint from Sid Fernando in a little bit. I also want to mention, of course, it's the last day of the OBS sale. Talked to Tom Ventura this morning. Sale's been very solid. And the wrap-up today, I've got I got some of that I'll save for Sid as well. We'll hit a couple of the highlights. And one thing I didn't get to with Richie, which I'll do with Dick, because I'm going to ask Dick about wagering strategy given the way this race card Saturday is laid out and what he would recommend. I've got a couple of ideas. But one suggestion, and Nick Tamaro can sound off on this too a little bit later. One option, if you think that, okay, I'm not satisfied with the opportunities on the card on a straightforward basis. Well, what about the contest? You've got the $5,000 Belmont Stakes Challenge, which basically you use $3,500 of that as live money in the contest, and $1,500 goes to the prize pool, and the prize pool actually is seated with $50,000, as well as a BCBC seat, which is worth $10,000, of course. The contest registration, got to get it in today. It's got to be done by today at 5 o'clock. So if you're thinking about it, because the contest is both Friday and Saturday, it's a 2-day event. You know, $5,000, put together a partner or three, you know, each of you put up $1,250, or each of you put up $2,500, and attack this that way. If you don't want to necessarily, you know, bet it, I mean, you're going to be betting it, but, you know, here's an added incentive, a nice prize pool, one of the best prize pools of the year in New York, and a BCBC seat. Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, good morning. Let me add my condolences to everyone else's.
Thank you. And I, you know, I referenced you opening the show. I just, you know, by saying how, you know, recognizing how fortunate I've been, you know, to have him that long. And you, by contrast, you know, you didn't get that luxury. So I appreciated that perspective from you.
And either way, it sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the bottom line.
Well put. Well put, Dick. Well, Dick, according to a certain percentage of the horse playing public, this Belmont Stakes Day isn't any good. What's your thoughts?
I look at the races. You have, especially in dirt races, you have an inverse correlation between purse money and field size. When you get outside the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup, no matter how much money you put up in dirt races, you cannot get decent fields. So when you go into this kind of day, when you're going to have $1 million Met Mile and a big acorn and Phipps and things like that, you're just running that risk. Now, years ago, it's either 93, I think it was 93, I was working for NYRA, a bunch of us executives had a meeting, and we decided to have 6 stake races on one day. It was, I don't know if it was Jockey Club Gold Cup Day or Woodward Day, but it was a fall day, big grade one races, and lump them all together, and then we're going to have an all-stakes pick 6. And I was the negative vote, and I said, well, first of all, on a daily basis, the second race, Quinella, has a bigger betting pool than the pick 6. Unless there's carryovers. That's just the way it is. And why would we take all these races and put them on and take away their individual achievements? You know, when you go to boxing, you go to the main event. You don't have 10 main events. You have one main event. So as Richie said before, I mean, the Met Mile is a main event. It should be on Memorial Day. That's it. You can have some other races that day, but putting everything in one day and then having them spread out early in the day, which I think is just unfair to the owners. That, you know, yeah, we're in the Acorn, but the race is at 1 o'clock. You know, there's not a big crowd there, and you don't have that buzz that you might have later in the day and stuff. So I've been negative on the whole concept from day one. Yes, I can see the argument that it does work, because those are days that do attract massive handle numbers, but what no one is willing to do is to go back and look at the other Saturdays that had these races stripped off of them, and what's their handle. You know, basically it evens out, because handle pretty much stays the same, nominal growth. So we have a bunch of good horses, and good horses scare off other horses. Another issue is the Met used to be a handicap. I mean a legitimate handicap. And now you cannot get anyone to take a chance on anything. So if I had a grade 3 stakes winner and I'm getting in with 114, I might take a look, because I know the high weight's going to be 128 or 130. So with that weight spread, I might take a chance. Well, not with the weight spreads we have nowadays, because the small group of trainers that have all the good horses, they're not going to support handicap racing, or at least real handicap racing, where there's a good spread of weights. So races like the Met Mile, you get Flightline. Great. I can't wait to see Flightline. Going a mile on hopefully a fast track. Man, count me in. And just enjoy it. It's a great day. It's a great day of racing. Is it going to be a great day of betting? You don't know. You know, you get 12 horse fields every single race, and it sounds good until you go over 10. Because it was too tough for you. My strategy will be some horizontals and not get into the vertical stuff, because when you get into tries and supers, the takeout's too high. And I'm a takeout believer, and I'm a takeout actually do it, you know, not just talk about it. So high takeout bets I tend to avoid. So 15% pick 5s, things like that, they'll get my attention. And then if you see something, you really have to watch the probables on a day like today, because you're always shocked. Oh, so-and-so ran, and he won by 3, and the second horse was logical. and he's asked is $20. Well, that's a phenomenal price. You know, yeah, it's not $300. You're not going to sign for it. But you could have had 50 on it or something like that. So those type cold exactas and cold daily doubles, I'll be looking at them all day.
Well, and the way in which, particularly the second half of the card through to Belmont, there is a maiden 75 and a turf sprint state bred allowance as the nightcap. For those that get involved in the later half of the day, but when you have the Jiper, you got 13 in the Jiper, and that kicks off the Belmont ending pick four. The Met is in between with, I've seen people say that, if it's not Flightline and or Speaker's Corner to get through, then, okay, it was Aloha West. It was an interesting participant, and even Happy Saver, but, feels like a place that is you get through with the two of them. But then that gets you to the Manhattan, which is very good. And I happen to think that Santin, now that he's broken through and gotten that win, my initial pass has got me, leaning on Santin, and that gets you to the Belmont. So there's a pick four with 13 by, maybe just one or two by 10 by the Belmont, depending on your Belmont approach. If you want to make it into a pick five, what, you're so convinced that Letruska is going to wire? Or you're so convinced that search results will be on her first and won't be able to be caught after he... I'm sorry, that five-pack of in the Ogden Phipps to start the pick five, I think Bonnie South is a filly that can be relegated to a C, but the other four, you're going to be surprised? Letruska, Malathat, Clairiere, search results? Everybody locked in and convinced that their filly or mare is winning this, and nobody else is a consideration.
Yeah, I agree. I don't mind it. I wish there was a little more competitive depth, but someone would have to say, oh, yeah, well, so-and-so didn't come for whatever reason, and just issues like that. The problem everyone has is when they see the final result, the overnight, they say, well, why wouldn't you go in this race? Well, you didn't know that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago when you had to nominate, 3 weeks ago when you had to train your horse for a particular race. You don't know it's going to come up with five. So that's... it comes up with five, and you're on the outside looking in. So maybe next time you be a little bit more aggressive, or take some chances and stuff. But looking back, Steve, the guys like Lucas, Zito, all these people that won races and races they shouldn't belong in.
That's a good point.
They look smarter and smarter.
Are we? Have people? Let's see. It's Thursday. I did get a show in on Monday, and for those that missed hour one, you might want to go back and listen to Chuck Lawrence and to Eric Foster, because Chuck Lawrence won a race with 1-2 Annapolis, and he won it at 80-1, and then Eric Foster won that nightcap at Churchill later in the day at 40-1. People's memories just they're really short. I think there's, and we haven't even talked really about the 2 day bets either, Dick. And the higher increment concept that's available. So there's value where you find it, I guess. How about that? Is that a way to
Yes.
Or value is in the eyes of the beholder.
No one's saying that flight line to show. It's like, you know, it's strange. We even, you know, you would never know our business went from $10.5 billion to $12 billion. I know the pandemic had a lot to do with that, but still we went up, and that the self-flagellation that we put ourselves through is just never-ending. So, okay, we got Belmont, and hopefully we can survive it.
Well, yeah, and you and I have talked enough over the years that, and I'm with you that the mega day does not have to. I mean, I've said right away, even early on, that I didn't understand the need of a supersized Travers Day. That to me was just didn't make any sense. To load everything onto Travers Day, where you're always going to have your biggest day of the meet, no matter what happens. I would much rather show up on Wednesday and there's the grade two prior S or whatever. I mean, I you and I have discussed this before.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
How are your opinions accessible this weekend?
Wide open.
Nice. Then you want to sound off on a couple of thoughts tomorrow and Saturday.
Well, I looked at Saturday's card. I just was, you know, more out of curiosity than anything. The Belmont, I like Nest. I think I'm like the lone wolf in the wilderness here, but I still say she got in trouble coming out of the first turn in the Kentucky Oaks. And Ired had to pull her head up and steady her, and she did not have the easiest trips down on the inside when Louis went to the outside and had the clear path. He might have lost ground, but he never lost momentum. Ness did lose momentum. So she comes back. I like the fact that Todd got the three workouts in the 5 week period. You give the week off, and then you get back on the schedule. Pedigree, obviously, and then 5 pounds. And I would be out of my mind after all the races I follow around the world, where Winx and Black Caviar and Zarkova just beat boys on a regular basis. And then now I'm not going to like this filly because she's up against the boys. I think they have the problem against her. So I think she looks tremendous. I love her cruising speed. Don't know how the race is going to set up. Flavian's going to send We the People. And then the question is, what kind of pace do we get? If I'm Flavian, I would prefer to go out. I don't want to. If I'm Flavian, I don't want to see 1:15. That brings everybody else into the race. You know, I want to see 1:12, 1:13. That sounds fast, but you want to take the starch out of everybody else. You get into that rhythmic stride and just keep going and going and going. So if Flavian can do that, We the People will be very, very tough. I think Ness can sit third or fourth. I like the cruising speed that she has. Todd, obviously, always produces in this race. Doesn't have to win it. He's had a bunch of seconds and horses that ran just terrific in the Belmont Stakes. I think Nesta's going to be my pick. I will obviously use We the People, and I will use Barbara Road.
I like it. So how about a little...
And the one nice thing
three
with
the
an 8-horse field... Yes. If you single, if you like someone solid in an 8-horse field, and you want to just wheel them up and down in all three legs of a try, then it's only costing you $42 for every dollar. You know, there's 42 combinations. Your horse tied by 7 by 6, so it's 42, and then you multiply that by three times if you want to put your horse in all three positions. Now, Nest at 8-1 morning line, I might do that. That might be well worth it. Hoping that a Barber Road can somehow get into the money and stuff like that. But I think the Belmont, yes, there's been some defections and, you know, oh, here's the goodness. Saturday, I have a six-year-old here all day. I am babysitting my youngest granddaughter, who is an absolute joy. And
nice.
Besides that good news, it will keep me away from watching all the NBC coverage and screaming and cursing on my television when I have to hear more about the Triple Crown facing and everything else. So Sarah will be here. Sarah gets all of Poppy's attention, and Anna, you know, she loves coming here, and you know, so I don't care for the Belmont Stakes Day. I want to spend the day with Sarah, so I will make some bets. Not going to go crazy, but just enjoy her company, and then maybe she'll bring me some. Maybe she'll bring old Poppy some good luck here. But yes, I will
nice.
Avoid. You know, and in the Catholic Church, we have this thing, avoid the near occasion of sin. So, me watching things that I know are going to be not good for my mental well-being, no, I'll just avoid.
Fair enough. Let me touch on a couple of races that I haven't. I didn't talk to Rich about. We seem to more or less focus. Yeah, we did focus on the dirt races. Let me ask you about the couple of the turf events, notably the Manhattan, and you know, Graham Motion coming back here with the Man of War winner, Highland Chief. Chad certainly well represented. Brings back a Domo, and he's got Tribuvin and Rock Emperor as well as L'Imperator. You got a. Speaking of international, you've got Kobayashi coming in with Tokyo Gold. It's a nice mix. Paulo Lobo stretching In Love out here, trying to kind of get that one rebooted. And then on the outside, Channel Maker. There's not a, as usual in a race like this, not a tremendous amount of speed. But Dick, I had a hard time getting past Santin now that he's broken through and. You know, was finished in front here in North America.
Now, you're down there. What are we looking at as far as weather for Saturday?
I'm home, Dick. I came back after after the
fight. Okay,
I didn't want to be there, frankly, today and tomorrow.
Right. Yep. And I think showers today.
Showers today, sun tomorrow, and Saturday is cleared up considerably. I think you'll end up with a perfect turf course. I think they'll be a little, if they want to dig their toes in, they can. I don't think quickening is going to be an issue.
I'm a sucker for Gufo, and one reason being is he's by declaration of war, who I just absolutely love, and. He got compromised last time when they went 117 and missed by a length. But Joel will wrap him up, get him covered up. You know, Tribahaven will be out there all alone on the lead. I tried using him 2 years ago, I think it was in this race. That was last year, yeah, with the domestic spending. I thought Tribahaven could maybe steal it, and he almost did at 16-1. But I'm just a sucker for Gufo. His kick is just devastating. Joel will give you a heart attack. He'll wait to the last possible second to make that move. And then the Japanese horse, who's actually been racing all over the world, he will be quite interesting to follow. With Christian DeMuro in for the ride. Christian once won a Dubai Gold Cup for me on Victoire Pisa. I remember things like that.
Well,
and the Jaipur, you know, I'm gonna root for Lee and Mike's horse.
For Casa Creed coming back for a repeat, and you know, Casa looks good in here. Michelle Lovell shows up with the Intercontinental winner, change of control. Resmi Red, I think you play a little bit against, right, off the win at Churchill. And there was a horse, a gear jockey. I mean, I had three, basically, that I was serious about, starting with Casa. But the more I looked, the more that Scuttle Buzz impressed me. Of Rudy Rodriguez's and Castellano, the last pair, I thought Scuttlebuzz had a bit of a look, and I think 6-1 morning line, and I think you're going to get every bit of that.
He likes Belmont, likes New York bred. Rudy keeps him at home, and he's been winning and winning and winning. Turns back from 7-6, he won. He won at 6 in Fast Time at Aqueduct, not Belmont. So that's 7-4 is real impressive. And I could see him. I just that's a tough race. That's you want field, you want full field. You got him there.
There it is. We'll stay with the grass for a second because lots been said already about the Chad trio in the Just a Game. I mean, I'm a sucker for Regal Glory, and that goes back to the origin with Paul Pompa, and I think she's just spectacular. David Aragona made Speak of the Devil the even money favorite off that, that As She Kind of Pleased win. If you believe in Regal Glory in this spot, then, you're going to get the second choice, it looks like. Chad's other horse is in Italian. Phil D'Amato shows up. Good for Phil for shipping east. The only person, Brendan Walsh, went out to California to win the Grade One with Ocean Road. Good for him there. So here's D'Amato saying, all right, I'm going to go try to poach the Grade One in New York. Again, it's a five pack, and there's some intrigue. I like the second choice.
And Phil comes in here. Traveling has not been easy lately, so it's hard to move horses around the country. So for him to ship in, knowing that he's going to have some logistics to deal with, that's impressive. He's fast. Brings in Ricardo Gonzalez to ride. He's taking the big shot here.
What's your thought on the? Let's talk about the dirt players and interestingly the three odds on favorites that are all on the rail. Flight Line, of course, and Speaker's Corner. How much pressure does Junior Alvarado try to exert? Latruska, we talked a little bit about the fact that you got five premium fillies and mares, and then Jack Christopher. How about those three before we get a Hong Kong update?
Well, Jack, if you were with Todd in October and talked to him, he might have told you that this is his best potential three-year-old, not early voting, not Jan Dunn. And right now, it still looks like that might be the case. He gets another test here, but he passed his last test pretty easily. So he's fascinating to watch. The race with Latruska, just such a pace advantage. I mean, I like Malathat, but man, they're just going to be in a grind for a mile and 16th. Jose can see the advantage Jose has is not only can he make the lead, he can switch off when he wants. He's not going to have the pedal down the whole way. Whereas Johnny on Malathat, she's enough of a grinder as it is, and to get a mile and 16th against this kind of company, That's going to be interesting. So I think Latruska is going to be awfully tough under these circumstances. Different circumstances, I would definitely go with Malathat. And then all the Met numbers wise, Flightline is going somewhere where very few have gone before. I'm not crazy about all the breaks in between races. Sadler seems to have the horse figured out. I don't know, you know, there's rumors why he didn't come back sooner, whatever, but he's trained brilliantly and trust John in these type situations. Aloha West, I'm sure, will try to look for the fast pace and run down. Todd has the turn back with Happy Saving. Years ago, we saw him that mile. Turn back used to do pretty good. So I just think it's, you bring in Flightline, that's huge. If you can find someone to run against them, that's even better, which they did. Speaker's Corner.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what we'll see how Junior approaches it, and Belmont. It's it is one of the days. Even again, if you're not taken by the wagering aspect, it could be a spectacle. Frankly, it's a spectacle either way. If he puts on a frosted show, that's a spectacle, and if he gets beat, it's a spectacle.
Speaking of spectacles, shouldn't DJ Paulie D be at Monmouth Park and not Belmont Park?
We'll look for him maybe Haskell Day as well. Yeah, good point.
I thought the show was Jersey Shore, not the...
That's right. not Jones Beach. Look at Dick. Look at Dick with the hipster referencing. Well done, Dick.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Me and culture.
I love it.
All right, let's quickly go back over Epsom. The Oaks.
Yes.
Phenomenal finish. Yeah. Frankie blew the race like you cannot believe. I mean, gets left wide, still right there at the wire. Ryan Moore. Just he gets in the dogfight, he's going to come out on top. Holly Doyle's ride on Nashville, I thought was sensational. She just as tough as could be, split horses, got third, highest finish ever for lady jockey in a British Classic. The Derby, dominated by Desert Crown in only his third race. And by the way, Tuesday won the race on her birthday. She was foaled June 3rd in Ireland. And it shows you the clout that Coolmore has when you own Lily Langtree and you own Galileo. And yes, you can still breathe in July knowing that, well, we're not gonna take it to a yearling sale and we're not going to probably race them much at two, but we'll have a classic horse at three, which is what they wound up getting. So that was amazing. A June 3rd filly winning the Oaks. Epsom Desert Crown just was tons the best. Westover had a nightmare trip for Jedmont, so he's a horse to watch coming out of that race. The rest of them didn't look that impressive. He had 150-1 shot on second. And then outside of Paris in Chantilly on Sunday, Aga Khan with Jean-Claude Rouget.
Right.
Vadini just looked unbelievable when Christophe pushed the button and the race was just over, and it looks like he beat a pretty good field. Modern Games drew outside and he had to use a lot of energy to get up to the front, and he paid for that in the stretch. So Badini had a nice trip but also looked very, very good, and a lot of nice horses that we'll be seeing down the road. Earlier on Friday, the Coronation Cup was won by Holcomb, his first Group 1 win. He had surgery on Saturday. They said it's not career-ending, but, you know, come on. And his full brother, Baez, will be running first race on Tuesday, Queen Anne Group 1 at Royal Ascot next Tuesday.
Well, and how are you going to – well, you'll be on with us, obviously, on Wednesday, but are you going to have some Ascot coverage?
Not that I know of, but I'll be paying attention. So if you want, if you want opinions,
you bet. You bet.
Send them your way. Yeah.
Please, and well, we'll have the full compliment. Nick Luck tomorrow. Nick is joining us. First thing tomorrow morning, he'll be the first guest. We'll get his quick recap of Epsom, and then he'll get you, you know, the survey like we always do with Nick. He'll go over what he considers, you know, the biggest stories and you know, the most interesting opportunities. We'll have, of course, we'll have Kev on. We'll have the long shot lad and his plays, and of course, Kevin delivered big time on Saturday with. A couple of that 19 what was it the $19 winner of the race before the Derby, and then he had the Derby winner. He put the pedal down, and we'll get Dick. We'll probably I'll scare up some Steve Anderson as well, and. All the best. Oh, and Vance Hansen. We'll get Vance Hansen's ask at plays as well. So we'll have you ready. And Vance is he's the silent assassin. Doesn't say a lot, but when he picks out, you've worked with Vance for years, right, Dick? Vance is. You're not going to have to worry about Vance patting himself on the back on Twitter.
My kind of guy.
Right. I love it. Dick, before I let you go, let me get Hong Kong. Quick Hong
Kong. Hong Kong yesterday, it rained. The track was yielding. So really a dreary day at Happy Valley. At night at Happy Valley, the times were way below par. Right his thing still. Joe has about a 5-win lead over Zach. The trainers are still kind of neck and neck. Frankie Lord, John Size. We are racing this Saturday night, Sunday morning. 9 more cards, I believe, are coming up. 10 if you count Saturday. So we're heading into the last 10 race cards of the season. And more rain than I remember this time of year. So we've had a kind of a rainy season extend pretty long. So we went the longest time without anything being other than good or good to firm. And now we've been getting some yielding and stuff. So that's been interesting to follow. Times are slower, so not as speed-oriented. But some nice young horses over the weekend. The Star, I thought, was in a Class 3 on Sunday, Alcarry. From Ricky Yu. He went 5 furlongs in 55.11. That's the fastest time of the whole season. And he won rather handily, looked good, beat a real good field. And he's one to watch in the sprint ranks, especially coming up next year as he develops more. So, yeah, we'll have another nice card. Next card, there are some all-weather races. And we have 11 races this Sunday morning, so with the sun coming up so early, and that wakes me up. The other day I woke up and I still had 3 races to watch on my iPad. So.
Nice. Well, we've got the makes the Saturday even bigger. So there's your layout. Dick, I appreciate it, and we'll talk. We'll be taking in some Ascot action and. Actually, doubleheader, I guess, right on Wednesday, so we can we can ping pong back and forth between the Valley and Royal Ascot.
So what's on? Yeah, should be fun.
Dick Powell, everybody. Dick, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Casey, let's do this, because if we don't take the break, we're going to get in trouble, because we've got a good half hour coming with Sid Fernando. So let's take the break here. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Going to join Dick Powell. Dick, we just had Dick. We're going to join Sid here, and we'll get a quick sales update. The final day of the sale is underway, and we'll get Sid's Pedigree Place for the Belmont. Back after this.
And Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist